You are Locked On Giants, your daily podcast on the New York Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, along with Pat Traina of Inside Football, The Athletic, Journal Inquirer, Forbes, and several other places. And Patty, we actually have a little bit of summertime news to talk about today.
Yeah, we're going to interrupt our breaking down of each Giants position unit, which we've been doing for the last, four or five shows now, and we are going to talk about a transaction that was made.
Yes, the Giants, a little bit surprisingly, and I guess maybe more uncharacteristically, you know, for the history of their organization, used a third-round pick this week on cornerback Sam Beal out of Western Michigan. That third-round pick, of course, in the supplemental draft. So a little bit out of character for the Giants, but some help at a position where they really needed it. Patty, your thoughts? Were you caught a little bit off guard like I was that the Giants actually made a move here?
You know, I was, but I have to be honest here. I am still kind of getting used to the new and improved and bolder approach of Dave Gettleman. You know, when people say to me, well, do you think, you know, the Giants will execute a pick in the supplemental draft, I'm still kind of thinking, you know, the way things were done under Jerry Reese, which I really have to stop doing.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm with you here. It's a new sort of bolder, braver, play with Dave Gettleman where the Giants seem to be willing to go out and make a move when it's there.
Yeah, and you know what? I like the move. The more I think about it, I like it because what he is doing is he is looking ahead to the future. You know, it's the old saying, why wait until tomorrow when you can get it done today? So, yes, they gave up a third-round pick. Apparently, they think that this kid would have had a third-round grade anyway had he been in the draft. But what they are doing is they're getting this kid in. Now, I don't think he's going to play much, certainly not in the beginning, because he does, you know, he's kind of raw. His technique needs a little bit of polishing. He's kind of light. I think he weighs 177 pounds. They probably want to get some bulk on him. But what they are doing is they're setting themselves up for next year when they are going to have a humongous need at cornerback. If you look at what the roster and the way it's currently constructed, Janoris Jenkins is due to count for 13, I think it's $13 million next year against the cap. If they cut him, I think they save about $9.25 million. And so basically, you know, Jenkins, in order to avoid being cut, he's going to have a really strong year. If he has a weak year, there's a chance he might not be on this team next year. The other thing you've got to look at is Eli Apple. Which Eli Apple are we going to get? Are we going to get the guy who looks so promising as a rookie? Or are we going to get the guy who struggled and had, you know, basically was a mess last year? You know, so that's a big decision that the team has coming up because ultimately they're going to have to make a decision on Eli Apple and whether or not to pick up his rookie year option, him being a first-round pick. You look beyond that, you've got, you know, a bunch of guys who were signed to one-year deals. That includes William Gay, I think, was signed to a one-year deal. Might have been two. Maybe Gay was 2 years. Curtis Riley, who's been working with the safeties, B.W. Webb, you've got Teddy Williams, you've got Dante Dion, you've got a bunch of names, you know, you've got the promising Grant Haley, bunch of names at cornerback, you know, and just a lot of question marks as to whether or not they can step up and deliver the goods. So I think by bringing in Sam Beal at this particular moment, it gives them a jump start in developing him and getting him ready should they go in another direction next year at cornerback. And again, given the way the contracts are structured across the board, that is very likely going to happen. You're going to see a shakeup at that cornerback position.
Sure, You know, Patty, you probably could have just stopped there when you said a bunch of guys. Because pretty much that's what the Giants have behind Eli Apple and Janoris Jenkins is a bunch of guys. And, you know, it's kind of tough. It's kind of difficult to think that a kid like Sam Beal will be, you know, a guy that the Giants could rely on, you know, at least early in the season. You have to realize that, yes, it was OTAs, yes, it was practice in shorts, you know, all of that. But all of the guys that he'll be joining, all of his teammates have had the playbook for what now, 3 or 4 months?
Mm-hmm.
And they've been going through practices and through some workouts and walkthroughs and installations for several months. So he's way, way behind, you know, just in terms of the learning curve. And you may be right that the Giants might be looking at this more as a long-term investment. Dave Gettleman's quote today was, "We feel like we're getting our third-round pick now." And that's, you know, that's, as you said, it's a good way to look at it. It's a position where they needed to supplement the talent. There was a player there they felt, you know, could do it and, you know, could perhaps be a guy that can help them down the line. So a little bit, I like the move. I like the boldness of it. I like the forward thinking. And I like the fact, you know, the old George Young philosophy was basically, you know, you sit back, you let everything come to you, you don't move around, you just make whatever pick that you make, you know, when your turn comes up. And as much as the Giants have sort of lived by that, they've lived by it for decades now. You know, when you go 3-13, when you miss the playoffs 5 out of 6 years, it's time to do some different things. It's time to be bold. It's time to be aggressive. And you have to like the fact that the Giants are doing that. You know, I've been writing about Eli Manning quite a bit lately. Had a chance to talk to Eli the other day, you know, at his Gatorade Beat the Heat event. And it just, you know, it just brings back the idea for me that the Giants aren't in any, you know, frame of mind to rebuild this thing. They want to try to win as much as they can, as soon as they can. And moves like this, you know, while it might be a forward-thinking move, it also might help them the second half of this season. So you have to like it.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point. You know, they have gone all in with Eli Manning. They've committed to him. They rebuilt the offensive line. They got him, you know, a running game. You know, they're getting back a healthy Odell Beckham Jr., you know, a healthy Sterling Shepard, adding tight ends to the mix, a new scheme that's going to better suit his talents. So, yeah, you can tell that, you know, the Giants – apparently believe that Eli Manning still has a little magic left in him, that they can still maybe win another, you know, championship with him. I don't know if it'll be this year or next year, but, you know, I know there seems to be a sense of urgency regarding, you know, getting him everything possible in order to be successful. So, yeah, I think, you know, you look at the future, yes, you have to plan for the future, because all too often, as we saw under the previous regime, they didn't jump on the future until it was too late. And the best example of that is, you know, you look at what happened with the offensive line. It took them till 2013, if I'm not mistaken, when they drafted Justin Pugh, to really start pouring into the offensive line, you know, premium resources. And by then, it was kind of too late because, you know, instead of building it up all the way, you know, all along, they had to scramble, and then they had to bring in free agents. You know, they brought in Jeff Schwartz. He didn't work out, unfortunately, because of injuries. David Boston didn't work out because of injuries. You know, a couple of other guys didn't work out because they were, you know, draft picks that just, for whatever reason, didn't pan out. So you can't sit on your hands and say, oh, I'm going to squeeze every last drop of juice out of the guys I have now. You've got to, at some point, look to plan for the future. And, you know, kudos to Gettleman for realizing this and for getting on this, you know, now instead of waiting until it's too late.
Yes, Patty, it's a new day, and I think that both you and I, you know, need to get on the train and realize that the Giants aren't doing things the old Giants way anymore. It's kind of interesting to me. You know, I think we'll wrap up here pretty quickly, but it's kind of interesting to me that when Dave Gettleman was brought on board, there was a lot of moaning and groaning that, oh, the Giants are just going to continue to be the same old Giants, do things the same way. You know, they turned to a guy who used to work for them, you know, who knew the organization and all of that. They didn't make a bold move there. But I would have to say that to this point, you know, Gettleman has definitely been bold. He's been different. You know, it's been fresh, and it's been kind of fun to cover.
It really has. And you know what? Next time somebody asks me a question about, you know, what they may do with personnel, I'm going to put a big note, a sticky note on my computer that says, Dave Gettleman, so that I don't revert back into the Jerry Reese, you know, way of doing things. Because I confess, folks, I've been guilty of this. I wouldn't say anti-Jerry, but I'm just saying I've been guilty of saying, look, you know, when you cover a general manager for many years, and you know, it was the same thing with Tom Coughlin. You got to know, you could almost, like, I don't want to say complete their sentences, but you kind of knew how they were going to think and how they were going to approach things. You could establish trends and whatnot. And with Gettleman and with Pat Shurmur, it's a brand new regime, and, you know, we're still kind of getting a feel for it. And so far what we've seen with Gettleman is he's been forthright. He's been proactive, and he hasn't been afraid to do, you know, to move around and get guys that he feels is going to make this team better. And, you know, it's an approach I like. It's just, you know, takes a little getting used to.
You and me both, Patty. We like it, but we, like I said, we need to get on board the train and get with it a little bit here. With that said, Giants fans, I do think we're going to wrap up this edition of Locked On Giants. We will be back with you again next week when we will resume our position-by-position previews as we get you ready for Giants training camp, which opens officially on July 25th. Rookies report and some select veterans on July 22nd, but the official opening will be on the 25th, and I would encourage you folks, if you really want to get out to training camp, you know, check the schedule. I believe it's posted at Giants.com. I know it's posted at Big Blue View as well. I think there's only 9 open practices for training camp, you know, at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. So check the calendar, make your plans, and get out to training camp and see your favorite team.
And don't forget to say hi to Ed and I.
Of course, of course. That's always more important than watching the practices.
For sure.
Giants fans, we'll call it a show, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now.